Well, the public ministry of Jesus began in Galilee, up in the north of Israel. And it started, you remember, when Jesus went through that region of Galilee, proclaiming from place to place the gospel of the kingdom. He had an urgent message to share. Gospel, that is good news of a kingdom, and so of a king. Now, we've learned much about this gospel all the way through, but there are obvious questions. What is this good news? And what kind of kingdom and king does it speak about? Well, today we reach now the final chapter of Matthew's gospel. And here we see now the heart of this gospel of the kingdom. And we see it really is very good news indeed for all the world and for each of us. So let's turn to chapter 28, beginning to read the first verse. Now, after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. This story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Well, first, we see here quite simply, and yet staggeringly, the dead are raised. Now, after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. This is underlining for us the historicity of what we see here. Do you remember? Here's the Jesus in whom so many had invested their hopes. Well, now he was dead and buried. No doubt about it. Remember these two Marys? We saw them last week. They'd seen the corpse hanging on the cross. They'd seen the tomb where that body had been laid. So they knew where to go this Sunday morning. When behold, verse 2 tells us, a great earthquake. Easy to read that maybe and not even bat an eyelid, but a great earthquake. Why? Well, verse 2 goes on. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now remember, angels are incredibly rare in the Bible. The last one, even in Matthew, is right at the start, and even then only appearing in dreams to Joseph. But now, here, this time, it is a personal visit, coming down in dazzling brightness from heaven itself. Can you imagine those women watching an angel as he rolled back that stone and then perched on it? Well, but then verse 5, look down there. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay." Now that clarifies, why did the angel roll back the stone from the tomb? It wasn't to help anyone on the inside to get out, not at all. It was simply so that these women could take a look inside to see that there was no body there. But how could that be? After all, these very women had seen the corpse being placed there themselves. Well, the angel spells it out quite simply. Mind-blowing statement. He has risen. And this simple statement, of course, challenges, well, just about everything. It changes the way we view our world, our view of reality, what is true, the way we view the future, our future, and of course our view of Jesus himself. I mean, there is so much to take in. It's going to take the rest of the Bible really to explain it to us, but just notice for now what the angel underlines here in verse 6. He has risen as he said. So many times in Matthew's gospel, Jesus had said that he would rise again. Some of the references there in the outline, there are plenty more. No doubt when Jesus' followers, like these women, first heard Jesus say these predictions, well, they would have understood each of the words Jesus used, but it was obvious they were unable to get their heads around what Jesus was trying to communicate because this was so out of their experience. They couldn't know what he meant, that he would rise again. They had no categories in which to understand what Jesus was saying. Well, until now, they could see what Jesus meant. He had indeed risen, just as he had said. And of course, we know it's not just Jesus' words that are being fulfilled. We heard Daniel earlier from the Old Testament. He explained that those who sleep in the dust of the earth would awake. Then, of course, it's Isaiah 53. We can't really go by at this point without a reference to that chapter where we've seen so much fulfilled over these last few weeks. Do you remember how Isaiah explained that God's servant would be cut off from the land of the living, would be buried in a rich man's tomb? Well, after that, Isaiah then said, quote, "He shall prolong his days." But again, Isaiah's first hearers, what does that mean? He's dead and buried. How can he prolong his days? Well, now we know. The servant rose again to prolong those days into eternity, never to die again. And these women didn't only hear about Jesus' resurrection. Look down to verse 9. Behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came up, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. So they grabbed hold of the feet of Jesus. It really was him, physical, flesh and blood. Death truly defeated. And they worshipped him. Because who now could this be before them but the Lord God himself in the flesh and worthy of worship? So what then have we seen about the gospel of the kingdom? Well, here is good news for people who will die. Because in the face of death, what can we say? In the light of the deaths of those around us, what can we say? In the light of our approaching deaths, what can we say? Well, here is good news. Good news in a coronavirus world. Good news for a cancerous world. Good news for this dying world. He is not here, for he has risen. But we might ask, well, yes, Jesus rose from the dead. Death has, I can see, lost its finality. And yet, how do we know that will be of benefit to me personally? Well, there's more to see in these verses. Yes, the dead are raised, but that is not all. Did you notice the guilty are forgiven? Now, remember the Bible's understanding of reality of our world. Death was not a part of God's original creation design. There is a reason there's death in the world, which is sin. That humanity has turned against its creator. And so death, both physical and the eternal death to which our physical death points, well, that is the judgment of God against sin. And so all die because all are guilty. Well, with that in mind, look now what angel says to the women in verse 7. "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him." So just imagine for a moment that you were Peter when those women came to tell you that news? No doubt the women would be excited and celebrating passing this on. But surely Peter would no doubt remember the events of that night in Jerusalem, when despite his claims, he had in fact denied Jesus three times, even to a servant girl, and then deserted and fled. Of course, the rest of the disciples just the same. And now news that Jesus is alive. Well, how then would Jesus treat him? What would Jesus say to him? Even what would Jesus do to a failure like him? And today, people reject Jesus all their lives. Maybe give him not much more than a second thought, if that. Because they think there's far more in life to be worried about. Jesus is irrelevant. Unless, of course, Jesus really did rise from the dead, that he is alive today, and that not just those disciples, but everyone who's ever lived is going to stand before him to give account. Jesus says that's what's going to happen, and we now know what Jesus says happens. So we need to ask, are we ready to meet the living Jesus? Well, listen carefully to what Jesus says then to the women in verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Did you notice the change from earlier? Only one word, really, but how wonderful. Brothers. Go and tell my brothers. Far now for Jesus wanting to exclude his disciples or never speak to them again, or worse. He says he's going to meet his brothers. That is, they are family. They are in his family. They are his people. Yes, they sinned. Yes, they failed. But Jesus forgives. That's why he died, for the forgiveness of the very ones who had turned against him. It's wonderful news, but again, it's not brand new. The disciples, if they were remembering, would know this already. Do you remember after their last supper together, Jesus had told them they would scatter and desert him, but he hadn't ended there. He then said, "After I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." And so yet again, here is Jesus keeping his word. And while we're at it, we could look in the Old Testament again. For one example, that prophecy of the sheep being scattered comes from the prophet Zechariah. But you read on in Zechariah 13, and God continues, "I will say, you are my people." So here is wonderful news for any who know they too have turned against God and against Jesus, against this living Jesus who is who he claimed to be, who've gone their own way. That such failure, even such rebellion against him, is not the end. Because of the cross, there is forgiveness. And so the gospel is good news for sinners. Are we sinners? Well, Jesus himself has made it very plain in Matthew's gospel that we are. He has exposed the state of our hearts. But he's done that because he said he's come to save from sin, to show us that we do need him, his forgiveness, to come back to him now and forever. Well, if we're sinners, there is good news for sinners. Well, what a message those angels had, the angel had for these women. What do you do with a message like that? Surely it's obvious. If what we've read here is true, the implications are clear. But it is emphasized for us. Look at verse 7. The angel says to the women, "Go quickly and tell." Verse 8, so they departed quickly. Jesus underlines that angel's message in verse 10. Go and tell my brothers. You cannot keep this news to yourself. And Matthew clearly wants us to see that as well. Matthew wants to move us to action. We can't just accept this, delight in this good news, and not tell others. Because if we are convinced that it actually happened, Jesus rose from the dead, and that it means life and forgiveness, the urge must be to go and tell. It is such a sad irony, isn't it? Every Easter time, on Easter morning, there's enough people in church, and they're all saying to one another, he has risen, with a smile on their faces. But then from the next day onwards, it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference, apart from finishing off that leftover chocolate egg. No one else would be any the wiser that there was such good news to share. But maybe that attitude just really goes to show that the message is not really being believed at all. And so we must ask ourselves, it's a good test of whether we really understand and believe what we are seeing here in Matthew 28. If we have no desire at all, no feeling, no urgency to share this message, well, do we understand what has taken place? The difference this must make to everything. Do we in fact believe it? Because Jesus is alive. There is something now to be said to the dying world and to the dying people around us. Forgiveness is needed and it's on offer. What a message to share. Someone might say, well, I can see the message needs to go out, but I'm just no good at it. I just never know what to say. I always get tongue-tied. Well, give it a go. Enthusiasm goes a long way. And we can, of course, find out and get better at what to say. I mean, a start, we could simply pass on what we've been seeing on these Sunday mornings in Matthew's gospel. Give someone a copy of that gospel. They can see it for themselves. Another comment, someone might say, well, but I never know how to answer people's questions. Well, here's my top tip what to say. I don't know. But I'll go away, I'll ask others, I'll get back to you after I've had time to think about it. And that's an opportunity for the conversation to go on. And then we can ask each other for help. We can wonder what might be good books to pass on, places where the message can be explained clearly, maybe in a talk or somewhere online. But we'll do what we can because this is a message of such good news. But as we close, in all of this, we do need to realise this good news will be rejected. Now, cast your minds back to last week. Do you remember those guards? Do you remember they were placed at the tomb to ensure the disciples couldn't make up any story about Jesus' body being taken away? And then ironically, it turns out those very guards end up as witnesses to the coming of the angel. Although verse 4, we are told, for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. I think Matthew's having a bit of fun here, isn't he? The dead man was supposed to be lying in the tomb. But in fact, the only ones like dead men are these terrified guards outside. But the consequence of this is that it wasn't only the women who had a report to share. Look down now at verse 11. While the women were going, behold, some of the guards went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. Of course they spoke, because why wouldn't you? But therefore, think about those chief priests. Do you remember, they always knew the claims Jesus was making about his resurrection. That, after all, is why they asked Pilate for these guards in the first place. And now the guards are telling them about the angel. There is overwhelming evidence for the chief priests. Jesus must be who he claimed to be. Which is therefore such good news. This is the one the chief priests profess to be waiting for, the promised one from God. And the dead are raised. How will they respond? Verse 12. When they'd assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. Well, notice there the language of gathering. Do you remember we saw that last week? And what's the purpose of this gathering? Well, we're told the chief priests gave to the soldiers a sufficient sum of money. Obvious question, sufficient for what? Well, to get them to keep quiet about what they had really seen. And stick to, if you think about it, is what is a ludicrous story. So those soldiers who'd been posted on guard had fallen asleep on the job and they were going to admit it. And of course, if they had fallen asleep, then how did they know what had happened at the tomb? And in particular, how would they have known that it was the disciples that took the body? It's all laughable. But in the chief priest's eyes, that is preferable to the truth being heard. As for those guards, well, look, money talks, just as it did, remember, for Judas. And this plan worked up to a point. End of verse 15. This story has been spread among the Jews to this day. You might say, why does Matthew take the time to record all of this, the chapter full of such good news about Jesus? Well, notice the chief priests told these guards to tell people, but not to tell the truth, but to spread a different explanation, a different report, a different message, even we could say a different gospel. And it still happens to this day, now. Today, once in a while, fairly regularly, a new claim appears. It's there in the supplements of the papers, supposedly proving from another angle that, hey, look, Christianity is a hoax, and we can prove it. Then these claims get a bit of airtime, they reach the news, and then someone presents them to Christians like us as if it's a fait accompli. The implication being, sometimes they say it, sometimes it doesn't, there you go, it shows. Christianity is a sham. You've got to be a fool to believe it. When always it's the opposite that is in fact the case. These claims that come up as spurious, they're often shown to be simply ridiculous. Experts, true experts, show that they can't be right. They're shown to be false. But of course that never gets reported in the papers. There's no formal apology admitting there was nothing really to that story they splashed on the front page. Because the point of those stories is simply to push the claims about Jesus far away. And so when that happens, we today should not be surprised. It's happened from the very beginning. It happened till Matthew's day. And he knew it would happen, well, until the day when the living Lord Jesus will return. And then all these fabrications will be seen for what they are. But we need not worry. We know the truth. Matthew's recorded for us what actually took place. Here is the gospel of the kingdom. The dead are raised. Good news for people who will die. And the guilty are forgiven. Good news for sinners. The obvious response, come to Jesus for this life of forgiveness that only he can give. And then quickly tell the world. Let's pray as we close. He has risen. Our Father, we praise you for this good news of the gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus rose again from the dead, bringing life, that he welcomes sinners, bringing forgiveness. Help us, we pray, to realise again, to grasp something of the enormity of what this must mean. Would we delight in it and spread it for Jesus' sake? Amen.